This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Biggest storyline of draft weekend was Shedeur Sanders, who ended up going in the fifth round to the Cleveland Browns after they had selected a different quarterback, mind you.
Right.
Outside of it. So there's two things. I don't think there's any way. There's the only way you fall that far is if a multitude of things happen. One is that you were never a first round talent in the evaluator's eyes across the board. Okay. Just period, plain and simple. There.
Obviously at this point.
But then you also must have tanked a ton of these interviews to a flaw level that I can't even possibly conceive. This is still shocking to me. I cannot believe he fell this far, considering some of the other quarterbacks who were taken before him, including a guy like Dylan Gabriel. And then I just don't buy some of this stuff where, like, the Steelers maybe had a really terrible interview with him, but they'll bring in Aaron Rodgers? That guy might crawl into a hole tomorrow. They'll take a chance on a 40-year-old, but not this kid. It's so weird.
I think what happened is, obviously, they did not evaluate him as a first-round quarterback, these teams. And it's not all 32 teams, because remember, there's really only like 5 to 7 teams that were interested in quarterbacks to begin with in the draft, if that. And so once he was not viewed as a first-round quarterback talent-wise, then if the reports are true that he maybe was lazy in these interviews and was disinterested that he had with these meetings that he had with GMs, then coupled with what comes with Shedeur Sanders, his dad, the quote-unquote baggage, whatever that is, teams are like, well, why am I going to mess with that for someone we view as a backup? That's why he slid to round 4, ultimately round 5. I think that's what happened. What I can't figure out, though, we know guys like Mel Kiper or Matt Miller, et cetera, are very well connected, right? They have relationships built over years and years and years with these front offices. How did nobody, at some point during the last, in the last 2 months, how did nobody say, hey, you guys are all evaluating him like he can go in the first round? He's not a first round quarterback. That's what I can't fathom.
Like, or even say he tanked the interviews, because the interviews happened over a month ago.
Yeah, like Matthew Berry had a story weeks and weeks back that said he was hearing that the interviews were terrible and some teams viewed him differently after those. That's fine. But what I mean, we hear all the time the media that is attached to the draft will say, hey, this player is actually going to go a lot higher than you think. And that's, where are they getting that from? From teams, right? How did none of the teams that let him slide tell the Mel Kipers of the world, like, hey, man, you're way off on your evaluation, man. Like, team, we don't view him as a first-round quarterback. That's what I can't fathom.
This is the part where I think NFL teams, like, that I'll go out and say that I think NFL teams do wrong because they're cowards. We talk about this sometimes with, like, NFL GMs and, like, when Bill Belichick and the Falcons and all this other stuff, where your ego gets in the way or your lack of management ability gets in the way. Because I do think that there were probably teams who had him around the third round grade. But the story that started to come out a little bit that I think is some truth to it is, well, now that we're drafting for backup quarterbacks, we like the backup quarterbacks to be like a house plant.
So I'm saying they didn't want the baggage at that point.
Yeah. It's the cactus on the shelf that I don't want to pay any attention to. We don't want a camera on them. We would rather have a way lower talented player so that we don't have to work harder at our jobs. I'm like, that is a terrible, I just think generally a terrible
But that is how it works typically. It's why Tim Tebow, to a certain extent, you know, there's other players we can look at. I think so much of this story too, is about how the public felt about him. Like, I'm not, the theories about like the teams weren't blackballing the Sanders family or anything like that stuff is crazy to me. Do I think the public reaction to the slide and those that took joy in it, those that thought the prank call was weird, funny and all that, that stuff is, it's more of a you problem and you've got a personal issue with how the Sanders operate. And that's fine, but like that's a you problem. The teams weren't blackballing or anything like that. But I think there were fans that took joy in it. They just don't like Deion Sanders, and that's fine. The prank call, I don't care how you felt. That was
very
completely messed up. And for those that don't know, the son of the Falcons defensive coordinator got this phone number for Sanders from his dad's iPad, it sounds like. And he's 21 years old. So I say kid, like he's 21. And
old enough to know better.
Old enough to know better. And he did this prank call. And that's, you cannot like the Sanders family. You can't tell me that's not messed up. Like, you, oh, it's a you think it's hilarious, whatever. I guess people like making, you know, basically embarrassing people, I guess, on social media. Because imagine if you're waiting for the biggest call of your life, whatever that is in your life. Everybody has that moment. They think, viewed as their, whether it's
job.
For job, college, whatever, like biggest moment. And imagine if somebody pranked you in that spot and also put out a video of you getting basically pranked. That's messed up.
He wasn't the only one either. Tyler Warren apparently had, he was prank called by the Jets at 7.
Cooper DeJean apparently last year, and a bunch of others reportedly. This is just a humanity thing. I shouldn't have to be like, imagine it in your shoes or in the shoes of a person that you love in order for you to have sympathy for another person. That is an incredibly screwed up thing to do. And I don't think that there's any excuse to be like, pranks are funny. Prank calls are funny. No, they're not. Not when it's talking about people's lives. Because if I put it in any, and I shouldn't have to do this again, but if I put it in any other scenario's life, you got a daughter and her dream is to go to Yale. And instead of, and in the letter in the mail, Drew sends her a fake letter accepting her to Yale and then be like, ha, got your ass. It's not funny. It's mean and cruel and unnecessary. Like, and I know he's 21 and he apologized. And good for, you know, honestly, for all the things you talk about, the character stuff that people had problems with Sanders, taking that kid's call.
He handled it very well.
Bigger man than me. Because I wouldn't have taken his call. I'd have told him to kick rocks. I'd have been like, kiss my ass, man. I don't owe you the dignity of apologizing to me. You can just stew on that for the rest of your life. I don't owe you anything, is how I would feel in that moment. And so, but it's just cruel. Like, there's no other, like, I don't think there's any other way to view it.
I thought the way he handled it, everything in general, like, of course, I mean, he was on, I don't know if it was Shiloh's or his, he was on Twitch and he was like, yeah, man, I mean, this is part of it. Like I'm moving forward. He wasn't calling anybody out. He wasn't getting mad. I thought Shiloh did a nice shot. Just in terms of handling it, it felt very professional the way that it was handled from all sides.
Now, as far as the football end of it, he goes to Cleveland. It is a crowded quarterback room. They just threw a bunch of numbers at it. It's got Kenny Pickett. It's got Joe Flacco. It's got Dylan Gabriel. It's got Shador Sanders. It technically has Deshaun Watson. It is a pretty crazy quarterback room there in Cleveland. And he has an opportunity, right? Like, he has an opportunity now to truly just focus on football and prove people wrong, not just on the football field, but like that you're going to be a distraction, all that. Prove people wrong. Focus on football. We'll see what happens.
17 games. Who starts the most games?
Gosh. Joe Flacco.
Not game one. Who starts the
I think
most
the answer to both,
games for the Cleveland
I think
Browns this year?
The answer to both is Flacco.
Deshaun Watson's in dead last. Okay, so he's dead last.
Yeah. I don't think Dylan Gabriel plays. I think Shador is more likely to play.
God, am I crazy for thinking it's Kenny Pickett? I don't.
Oh man,
I think it's Flacco.
I think Flacco starts week one and just plays until Shador ends up just looking great or is ready to go. Do you think Shador plays at all?
No, not year one.
I think he gets in a garbage time game. If they happen to be killing somebody, they throw him in there.
If they're really...
Well, they're not carrying five quarterbacks, I think
Dylan Gabriel's...
If they're really, really bad...
That's tough.
You have to... If you're really, really bad, you have to play both Gabriel and Sanders. There are some people who think like six quarterbacks might go in the first round next year. You don't want to be left out in the cold. You took a third and a fifth. If they fail, they fail. You just take another one. But like, you got to, I think both of them get on the field this year. Or at least one. One of Dylan Gabriel and Sanders are playing at some point this year.
It has to be Shador, right? Like Shador is, I understand Dylan Gabriel was great at Oregon, but it doesn't, it's going to be Shador. If he gets on the field, there's no reason, if they're losing, there's no reason Shador shouldn't be on the field. Because at worst, if he plays one balls out, you could trade him essentially at that point. You can at least get something for him if you're not going to use him.
I am still surprised. Like, there's a lot of people on the text line. Same thing. No one was harmed. It was funny. We saw him. Like, it is not funny to mess with people's actual lives. He didn't like put a fake. I didn't put a whoopee cushion in Alex's chair or a fake spider around the corner or move his car in a parking lot. Those are harmless things. And yeah, it's not just Sanders. They shouldn't have done it to Cooper DeJean or there was the offensive lineman who got taken by the Bills in the sixth round who said he received five different prank calls. It's wrong on all of them. It's not just, I'm not just upset because it was Shador Sanders. Don't do that's just a cruel thing to do. Like an unnecessarily cruel thing to do.